Holy shit, it's episode 6 of Brash Games' Going Solo podcast with me, Liam Pritchard, and as always, just me, Liam Pritchard. Well, me and my cat brain, but I don't think he's going to be saying much. This week, we'll be looking at the most underrated games of 2016, the biggest movies of 2017, well, those announced thus far anyway, what I've been playing, because, you know, why not? And our usual, it's all good, but it's basically just shite this week, starring Tom Hanks. Where do we start? All right, well, it's coming towards the end of the year. We've done the best games of 2016. I think I did the best movies of 2016. If I haven't, it's probably on my Brash Games podcast, which I do with Ross Alexander. So check it out. If you subscribe to this, you'll automatically subscribe to that. So, you know, it's there. Have a look. But yeah, this year, a lot of good video games. I mean, generally speaking, most people think 2016 has been shit, but there have been a lot of good video games. But there have been quite a few, which I think, personally anyway, that have been underrated. I'm going to say underrated slash underappreciated, because they're not quite the same thing. And some of these have got decent reviews, but, you know, for one reason or another, they just haven't caught on. So it's not like all these games were underrated. It's not like they've all got terrible reviews. But, like I said, for one reason or another, they've been underrated, they've been underappreciated, and I'm just trying to give them a little love before the end of the year. So, I've got like a list of 8. It's not really in order. They're just games I liked, which maybe didn't hit like they should have. First on the list, Recall. Keiji Inafune's, Keiji Inafune and a bunch of Metroid Prime devs. He does have a development team, but I can't remember what the hell they're called. But yeah, it's one of those games. It just didn't seem to catch on at all. Middling reviews, I think it's fair to say. But I just really liked that game. It wasn't perfect by any stretch, and it probably did drag on a little bit too much. But the gameplay was awesome. You know, it felt like it felt like the kind of game Capcom was making at the start of last generation. Remember when Capcom were like knocking out the park at the start of the 360 generation, when they were making games like Dead Rising and Lost Planet? And I know not everyone was fussed on it, but they made, the reboot of Bionic Commando? I know nobody likes that game. I quite liked that game. I even quite liked that. What was the flying one they did? The dude with the jetpack? I don't know. By the developer, it was with them and the guys from Crimson Skies. I quite like that game as well. But it just feels like nobody's making those games. You know, the very Japanese mechanics, but with a slightly Western feel. You know, 7-8 hours long, just a single player campaign. Very mechanics driven. It's one of those games. And despite the fact that it's clean, not perfect, I enjoyed it a huge amount, because you just don't get those games anymore. You know, where's the next Lost Planet? Oh, we know where the next Lost Planet is. It's not happening because of the shitty Lost Planet 3. Lost Planet 3, oh my god, that game obsessed me so much. You should go back and play the first two. Lost Planet is amazing. It stars a Korean pop star in the lead, but his name's something like, I don't know, Keith or something. It's ridiculous. And the second game, I went back and played that game last year. It actually has a hell of a lot in common with Destiny. The way you have 4 players, the way you power up. I mean, it's a kind of low-rent version, but taking down huge monsters. It's like a cross between Destiny and Monster Hunter. But I feel like it was one of those games that was just ahead of its time. Like, the world wasn't quite ready for this, like, 4-player co-op-only experience. But, yeah, Lost Planet 2 is amazing. But Lost Planet 3, don't go anywhere near that. I tried to kid myself and tell me that. Oh, it's like, how bad can it be? I love the first two games. It's got, like, a giant robot on it and, you know, that whole idea of a relationship. It was kind of like the Titanfall thing, but before Titanfall, you know, where they kind of leaned into the idea that there was a relationship between, you know, the pilot and the mech, but the game was absolute fucking pipe. Like, just terrible, terrible game. So yeah, don't go near that. But do go near Recall, because that game is super fun. As I said, drags on a bit, but the mechanics are all sound. It is, as people say, so like a kind of weird cross between like Mega Man and Metroid Prime or something like that. But that's a really good game. Deserve better. The same can't be said for Mighty No. 9. Let's be honest, Keiji Inafune hasn't, despite, you know, my protestations of the fact that Recall was a really good game, Keiji Inafune hasn't had a great year. Between this, fact is, it didn't hit that big, and Mighty No. 9, which everyone seems to despise. I mean, Mighty No. 9 doesn't make this list, but it's not as bad as people say. I'm not saying it's underrated or underappreciated, I'm just saying it's not as bad as some people have made out. You know, people were expecting Mega Man 10 levels of awesomeness. It wasn't that. But it's playable, you know. If you kind of judge it on its own merit, it's a serviceable kind of 2D action platformer. But, yeah, not great. That's not making the list, just to be clear. I'm just saying it's not as bad as some people say. It's like, you know, it's just like a lesser Mega Man game. People forget that there are loads of shit Mega Man games. Yeah, there are great ones. You know, there's like four or five really good Mega Man games. But equally, there are like seven or eight really shit ones. And this falls closer to the shit ones. So, what can you do? What else is there? It's a game I've been playing recently. And again, a game which got pretty decent reviews. But I feel like everyone's forgotten about Far Cry Primal. Its biggest sin seems to be that it was quite similar to the previous games. And while that's true, I mean, there's no two ways about it. Despite the, you know, the new setting, what is it, 10,000 BC? This is still so recognisably a Far Cry game. But there's still something to be said for a game which is brave enough to go back that far into history and to, you know, go with an ancient language. I'm not sure, do they actually go with an ancient language, or is it just like a made up one? I have no idea. But it's quite convincing, anyway. The storyline isn't amazing, but I quite like that. That seemed to be one of the big negatives about the game. But that was one of my favourite things, because, let's be honest, Far Cry 3 and 4 were fantastic. Great bad guys, in fairness, great bad guys that Far Cry Primal doesn't have. But most of the characters are douchebags. I mean, that's one of the main... That's what put me off Far Cry 3 and 4. One of the reasons I didn't finish either game. I was just like, I don't really like the characters. In here, the characters aren't great, but it's one of the few franchises where I say it's a benefit that the characters in Far Cry Primal are quite forgettable, because at least they're not assholes. But the way that they take the Far Cry template and appropriate it for, you know, prehistoric times, you know, in terms of the weaponry, it still feels like you're never missing an assault rifle. You never feel like, oh, you're going without. But the hunting and stuff makes so much more sense here. It's kind of like how the reason I preferred Red Dead to Grand Theft Auto, because your actions in Red Dead make so much more sense because it was the Wild West. You know, if you start shooting people in, you know, you take so much of the story relatively seriously, and then you just go around and kill like 12 pedestrians. It's like, for some reason, it takes me out of the game, because I'm like, well, you'd be arrested and you'd never get out of jail. Whereas with a certain sense of, you know, forgiveness on your part, you feel like you might get away with those things in the Old West. I don't know. Well, it was a similar thing with this. Like, the hunting in Far Cry has always been super fun. But I'm like, would any lunatic kill this many fucking animals in a modern day setting? I mean, Jesus Christ, that's a lot of animals to kill. Whereas there, it just helps me justify it by the fact that, oh, well, you have to hunt. Otherwise, you'll die. It's just part of life. But that game is gorgeous as well. Few games deal with the move from day to night as well as that game does. Not only does it become more dangerous, which has been done in loads of games in fairness, but it feels more natural. You know, it doesn't feel quite as natural where, oh, it's nighttime, so the zombies are even angrier. It's like, well, first there are zombies. But, you know, I get the idea that if you were a hunter in 10,000 BC, shit's more dangerous when the fucking lights go out. You know, there are no lamps. The beasties come out. It's not a good time. And plus, that game is so fucking intense. I got chased by a bear, and I didn't know what I was expecting, but I thought, if I run enough, this bear will leave me alone. It kept fucking chasing me. I was like, okay, I'll make it to the water, that'll be fine. Bear starts fucking swimming after me. Eventually, I killed that fucking bear, but that is, without question, one of the most intense moments of gameplay I've had all year, was running away from a bear with a slither of health left. Yeah, I thought that was a great game. You know, not game of year stuff, but it just feels like, well, people seem to like it, as the year's gone on, if you told a lot of people, oh, that was released in 2016, I feel like they'd be surprised. It's like, really? That was this year? I guess it was like February or something like that. But yeah, Far Cry Primal, enjoying that thoroughly. Call of Duty Infinite, next game on the list. Again, decent reviews, and it seems ridiculous to say this for a game which, what, sold millions and millions of copies. But just feel like everyone's been shitting on that game, and it's a good game. Like, the multiplayer, yeah, maybe the multiplayer hasn't moved on much, and sure, it's not as good as Titanfall 2, but it's still fantastic. The gunplay is still arguably top of class, and the story was actually pretty good. It looks amazing. I don't know what the issue is with moving it to space. It's like, how many times can you do, like, modern warfare? You know, and all this kind of half-ass, slightly future stuff, why not go bonkers? Why not go bang into the future? Yeah, I wish the space stuff was a little bit more fleshed out, but that's a good game. And I know, again, it seems ridiculous that game did really well, but it feels like all year people have been shitting on Call of Duty Infinite. Absolutely shitting on that game. Like, right from the off with that trailer bullshit, which was complete fucking wank, by the way. Oh, let's make it the least liked trailer ever. Why? Why? What was so bad about it? Why have they upset you so much? Do you know what would be better? If you didn't go out and buy it, but the sales figures have come out, you fucking probably bought it. Sure, it was down on the, you know, the last few games, but that game still sold outrageous numbers of... It's still the highest selling game of the year, I'm pretty sure. So you know what the... It's the usual story. all those people who went out and voted the trailer down and made a big fuss, at least 50% of those people went out and bought that game. At least. You know who the fuck you are. You know you did it. Why? What's the big love-hate relationship with Call of Duty? It's a completely reasonable game. If you don't like it, stop buying it. But people keep fucking buying it. Anyway, Call of Duty Infinite. You know what you get. I don't need to tell you if you should buy it. You know if you want to buy it. You know if you've already bought it. It's a good game. It's a very decent entry in the Call of Duty franchise. You know, it's better than Ghost, although I quite like Ghost in fairness. It's not the best, but it come. You know, if you buy the special edition, and you know, talk about fan service. Yeah, it comes with the game, and everyone had a fucking heart attack. But Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the remaster, that's on the disc. And you know that game is going to be, if you can just hold out like a month or two, you'll be able to pick up that game secondhand for like 20 quid. And it'll have Call of Duty Infinite and it'll have Call of Duty Modern Warfare on there. Just wait for that. Because they did a great job with that remaster. That wasn't a lazy remaster. They did a great job. But again, they didn't seem to get any love for it. One of the most beloved games ever. And all people did was bitch about that as well. It's like if they released it separately, you would have had to pay, what, 20, 30 quid online to download it? And that would have never gone down in price. Never. Instead, the fact that it's on the disc, it means you can just wait for it to go to second hand and just pick it up on the cheap then. But still, people want to moan about it. I don't know. It's a good game. And the remaster's great as well. That game's aged brilliantly well. What else is there? This one snuck onto the list, in fairness. And it might just be because... sorry, I've got a bad back. So every time I move... I'm in an incredibly large amount of pain. Star Fox Zero. I feel like I've got to put something on the Wii U on the list just because I really like the Wii U. It's kind of died to death, obviously, this year. Well, it has officially died to death now. It's, you know, it's out of production now. But Star Fox Zero, it was almost a great game. Although Platinum are worryingly specializing in almost great games nowadays. They always used to be my favorite developer. You know, they were just, they didn't release that many games, but all of them were fantastic. And then all of a sudden they did Cora. And I think the problem was with Cora, despite the fact that it was a bit shit, sold really well. And then, of course, everyone's like, well, these, you know, these Platinum guys, they can bust out a, you know, a serviceable game pretty quick. And then they made Transformers, which, again, I quite liked, but wasn't amazing. It was a serviceable action game, and it seems to have set them down that path. But maybe, you know, they're just doing these games to keep things ticking over, you know, while they're making Scalebound, and Scalebound will be absolutely amazing. I feel like that's kind of a... been largely forgotten by the vast majority of gamers. I think that's still due to come out in 2017. But, yeah, nobody seems to be talking about it. I think because the last gameplay reveal was a bit of a disaster, wasn't it? But, yeah, Star Fox Zero, it's not Platinum's fault. I mean, they were forced into this Wii U gamepad control scheme. It was, you know, when it was announced, Star Fox... it was part of that kind of final push, wasn't it? It was like Nintendo was like, all right, we're going to prove to you why you need the gamepad. We're going to make one last push and see what happens. And obviously it didn't work out. They released some great games, but the sales didn't go up enough anyway. I mean, was it finished on like 13 million? It's not going to be selling much more than that. That's a massive disappointment, obviously. And Star Fox just didn't move the needle, did it? Some of it is very awkward, but when that game is good... it is really good. Like, basically, just buy it and replay the first level a bunch of times. There's some terrible, awkward stuff halfway through, and the last boss battle is a complete pain in the ass. But I mean, if you can pick it up on the cheap, there's stuff to like there. Again, you need to wrestle with the controls, but when you get used to them, it does work. It's just more awkward than it needs to be. You know, excuse me. You can't help but feel like if they could change, if there was the option for a standard control scheme, that would be a great Star Fox game. But of course, it's too bedded into the game. It's just never going to happen. So, you know, if you want to play it, you've got to put up with the weird control scheme. But there's enough there to make it worth your while. Like a lot of Wii U games. It's, you know, good, but not quite great. The Wii U's got a great library of games, but maybe there's just not that, you know, the magic's not there. Other than maybe, you know, a few like Mario Kart. But all those are going to be coming to the Switch anyway. I wouldn't hold your breath on the Star Fox Zero coming to the Switch, by the way. I don't think that's going to fucking happen. If you want to play that game, it's going to have to be on the Wii U. So, give it a go. A few more on the list. No Man's Sky. I played that quite recently, and maybe that's why it's on my list. Maybe if I played it at the time and got caught up with all the hype and the expectations, you know, this would just be on my, you know, most disappointing, least favorite games of the year. But, yeah, I started playing it a few weeks ago, and... I'm really enjoying it. I get the criticisms, And I get why some people are upset because they obviously made too many promises, but I forgot what those promises even were by the time I played, to be honest. I went in with a very open mind, and the game's really good. And when you take in consideration that this was made by a really small development team and the ambition on display, the first time you take off from a planet and you really do get it, like the scale of that game, there's nothing like it. There's nothing that comes close. I mean, maybe there's some stuff on PC. I'm not a PC gamer, so I have no idea. But in terms of console gaming, there is nothing that matches the scale. And again, yes, a lot of it's relatively samey, but there is nothing like it on consoles. There's nothing quite like it, or certainly nothing I've played before anyway. So if you can go in, like if you haven't played it before, don't be put off by all the negative press. And the great thing about No Man's Sky, you can pick that game up for like chump change now. You know, £15 you can pick that game up for. And it's totally, even if, I don't expect I'll be making the center of the universe. I'm not going to be putting in 100 hours into this game. But even if I just explore for 20, 30 hours, that's well worth the money I spent. And I'm thoroughly enjoying it for as long as it lasts. Like, again, I have no doubt I'll get bored long before I get to the center of the universe. But for the time being, I'm like 10 hours in, still totally enjoying myself and still genuinely amazed by the scale. You know, each time you make a move, just like, holy shit, how big is it? Like when you can see a planet right in front of you and you start flying and the timer comes up like 30 minutes. Like if I keep flying at this pace, it's going to take me 30 minutes to get to that planet, which is right in front of me. Of course, there's all boosters and all whatever shit, so you can get there in a matter of seconds. But it's those little things which keep reminding you of just how big this game is. So yeah, totally. If you haven't played it already, you should totally try it out because it's being patched up now as well. So it's a better game than when it's released. I mean, that's just parcel of the industry now. If you can wait for most games, unless you have to be, in on the ground floor. I get it with like online shooters because if you fall too far behind, you can get, it's tough to kind of bring yourself back into the game. But a lot of like single player experiences in particular, if you can wait like 6 months, just wait 6 months. Not only will the game be cheaper, but it'll be better. It'll almost certainly be better. When was the last time a game wasn't patched, within a few weeks / months of release? Just, it always happens there. And No Man's Sky, it looks like they're supporting it. It looks like it's only going to get better. I haven't got into the base building shit, base building stuff or any of that nonsense, but the base experience, thoroughly enjoyable. And again, for the price you can pick it up for, well worth a go. Next on the list, The Division. Is this okay? Is this working where I just go through? There's only three left on the list. I'm going to keep with the format. Fuck it. What am I going to do? Change them now? It's just going to confuse people. Again, The Division, it seems ridiculous. It was relatively well reviewed and it sold like a bajillion copies. But it just feels like everyone's shat on it since. Like everyone's opinions changed just because it wasn't the next Destiny. Just because people weren't playing it like 8 months later. Like I'm not playing it now. But do you know what? I thoroughly fucking enjoyed that game when it was out. I got to level 30, I went into the Dark Zone a little bit. I must have put like 30 hours into that game, which for me is a huge amount. It didn't change my life, but that was a really good game. And people seem to be upset like, oh, because I've lost interest after putting in 200 hours, that's not very good. I don't know. People seem to have a strange relationship with The Division. And haven't they just released a new update with the Survivor mode? And for all intents, like, I've heard that's supposed to be amazing. I haven't tried it personally. I'm not even sure if I will. The fact of the matter is, I've got more than enough out of The Division to say that it was one of my favourite games of the year. Not top five shit, but thoroughly enjoyed The Division. And I think loads of people really enjoyed The Division. It just seems opinion has changed on it over time. Just because they stopped playing it, just because they don't want to go back. The fact is, yes, it's not Destiny. It hasn't caught on in quite the same way that Destiny did. It doesn't have the legs that Destiny did, but it's still a really good game. But yeah, it just seems everyone's shat on the Division since, which seems really weird. So that's why it's on this list. If you'd asked, 6 months ago, I would have said, well, no way is it, underappreciated or, underrated. Everyone seems to be enjoying it. It just seems to be one of those games where, and it happens every so often. It happened with the original Titanfall, where everyone was on board and then like people, and same with critics, seem to go back and say, oh yeah, well, I had no content and all that. People seem to forget how good the actual gameplay. Oh, I'm sorry, my cat's just being the cutest thing in the world. Hey, Bryn. Oh, how's it going, buddy? So, anyone who's got a cat will know that sometimes you just have to scratch a cat. And the cat knows as well. They do like these little things where they lay on their back and stretch out and they're like, all right, it's time for scratching, come on. And now, oh, he's like, oh, it's bloody adorable. See, if you're not a cat person, I just sound like a fucking lunatic, as all cat people do to people who don't like cats. But as a man in his 34th year, I can officially say I don't give a fuck anymore. I never used to be a cat person. And then my wife brought home a kitten one day as a surprise. Because she was like, should we get a kitten? I was like, no. She went out and bought a kitten. I was like, I can't believe you bought a kitten. The kitten came out of the box. Like, I can't believe you bought a kitten. Just immediately fell in love. It wasn't like it didn't happen over time. I became a cat person in like 2 seconds. I wasn't a cat person. And then there was a fluffy black kitten. And then I was a cat person. And that's how that changed. So yeah, now we have 2 cats. And at least this week, for people who've listened to the other podcasts, there's usually the sound of a cat taking a poo. That hasn't happened yet. So this is a bonus. Bryn's being quite quiet here. Just being sleepy and cute and asking for scratches with his face. Mission accomplished, eh, buddy? Anyway, we got to get back to the games, champ. We can't keep talking about you and how cute you are. Although you would love that, wouldn't you? So, the division. Still really good. And even if you don't play a huge amount online, I'm not sure how many people are still playing it. Just going through the campaign, you know? I thought that was really enjoyable. I just enjoyed the grind of getting up to level 30. It's sure that one of the big problems is that all, and again, one of the differences with Destiny is that the weapons all look the same. So you kind of, you know, get all your gear and the only thing you really notice are the numbers going up. It's not quite the same as suddenly having a gold gun, which looks completely different to anything else in the game. It's still just a black assault rifle for the most part. But looks really good. Technically fantastic. Check it out. This one just about snuck in. And again, it's maybe because I just finished it. And it probably helped that I got free with EA Access. Well, free. I'm paying for EA Access, but it was just added to the vault. But Mirror's Edge Catalyst, I thoroughly enjoyed that. Again, did it need to be open world? Probably not. I basically just kept in the main missions. But there was something quite fun about running from mission to mission. I never used the fast travel. It just reminds you how great the sense of momentum is in that game. And some people argue that other games have done first-person parkour better since, but I still prefer the Mirror's Edge brand, to be honest. And the world still looks pretty cool. It's a strange mix between like artistically impressive and slightly janky from a technical perspective. But I enjoyed it for as long as it lasted. And again, maybe it's like an expectation. Maybe if I bought this at launch for like £40, I'd be a bit more disappointed. Because I waited, expectations were relatively low. Like, I loved the first game, but I was like, I'm in a rush to play this. I was like, all right, this is going to end up on EA Access pretty quick. I just waited, it showed up. It's pretty good. Am I going to do the side missions? Am I? Fuck. Most of them are pretty boring. They're exactly what you'd expect. Run here as quick as you can. It's fun enough to do a few of them, but I just quite enjoyed the just traversing the world. My only objective was to get to the next objective, which sounds strange, but that was enough. I just enjoyed running in that game. Some of the characters are douchebags. Faith is still fantastic, though. A little bit earnest in my taste, but she's still pretty cool. Check that out, especially if you have EA Access. If you have an Xbox One, get EA Access. I know I sound like I'm shilling for EA here again, but EA Access is an absolutely fantastic deal. I've played all the sports, again, because I'm in a rush to play NHL, the latest NHL, the latest Madden. I can wait 6 months. And then all of a sudden, I just have the full game to play. It's great. Battlefronts, I've already got Battlefront, so it's not a big issue. But it is to the point now where it's putting me off buying EA games. Because I'm like, why? Like, I'm not buying Battlefield 1 because I played the 10-hour demo, which was plenty. And I can wait for the single-player campaign. Like, I played the little bit. I was like, yeah, it was fine. I wasn't as enamored by Battlefield 1 as other people were, and I'll happily wait until it's added to EA Access. It might be a year, but it's like, so what? It's not like I haven't got a fucking million and one other games to play. Have I got the 72 hours required to get half decent at Battlefield 1? No, I do not. I just don't. There's too many other shooters, there's too many other games. And to get good at these online, what I mentioned on other previous episodes, the reason I'm not playing Overwatch. It's too much fucking effort. It's too time consuming. At least I know with something like Titanfall, I can just jump in here and there. Same with Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront. I can just jump in whenever I want. I can do decent numbers. I'm not going to get that. Well, you do occasionally get decimated, but generally speaking, I'm going to do 50-50 maybe. I'll play it for half an hour and then just leave it again for a week, a month, whatever. But Battlefield, I don't know, there's something about it. Maybe it's because I'm shit at it, but I feel like it takes more of a commitment. And I just haven't got the time. And as I said, I liked the tone of the single player campaign, but I just wasn't mad about it. Anyway, last one on the list, Quantum Break. If you listened last week, you'll know that was one of my favorite games of the year. Again, it had pretty decent reviews, but I just feel like everyone's forgotten about the fact that that came out this year. And it's another fantastic Remedy game. The way they married together the TV show elements and the video game segments. Again, I feel like that was one of the big problems. Though it was like the last game kind of tied into that original vision of the Xbox One. And this is this all entertainment system thing where you'd watch your TV and your games and all that crap. And honestly, I wasn't convinced when I heard about it. I was like, really? I'm going to play an episode and then I'm going to watch a TV episode? I was like, that's going to fucking suck. And but I totally got into it. And it fit perfectly with how I play video games. Like, I play an episode. It takes like an hour, hour and a half, whatever. I'm like, all right, I'm keen to have a break now. And then I just watch an episode for half an hour. And the way it dealt with the different characters, the performances, that game is graphically unbelievable. And I thought the combat was completely underrated. Yeah, sure, the end did the usual ramping up, getting, you know, increasingly difficult towards a slightly obtuse final boss battle. But I thought the combat was great. Like, the unlocks all made a difference. I feel like a complete badass in that game by the last few stages. And Iceman, whatever his name is, who played the lead character, I thought he was awesome. The thing is, it had movie stars in it. Well, movie stars, movie actors, let's not get carried away. But they were all committed, it felt like, you know? Nobody was phoning this in. Everyone was on board. And it totally made the difference. And I wouldn't just say I was underrated. As I said, that was in my top five games of the year. And I'm sticking with it. So yeah, those are my most underrated slash underappreciated games of 2016. I'm sure there are a bunch of others. If you have any, or, you know, if you disagree with anything I said, if you think I'm being a dick, or if I've missed out anything, you know, write in. Well, like, if you go to the website, brashgames.co.uk, there's all the comments down the bottom. Leave a comment. I'll get back to you. I'll bring it up on the episode. This is a new podcast. Nobody's writing in emails or any shit like that. Well, probably because I haven't given an email address. But if you add anything to the comments, I'm going to bring it up on the next episode. So leave your name. You'll get a shout out. Does that sound desperate? Probably is, but fuck, I'm trying to get this off the ground. Anyway, at the moment, this is, as I always forget, and I'm not sure if people listen through to the end anyway. This is on iTunes, it's on Android and all that jazz, but it's still in the Brashcast at the moment, but I'm trying, well, me, Paul Ryan, the guy who heads up the website, he's trying to get it separated on iTunes and all that jazz, so it'll show up separately. So there'll be a Brashcast and there'll be a Going Solo. So hopefully you'll actually have to go in and subscribe newly to that. Because if you've subscribed to this, you'll be subscribed in the Brashcast. We need you to subscribe under Going Solo. I'll keep you updated. And then once it's separated, I'm going to create a Facebook page and this is all going to look a lot more legit. But for now, if you do want to get in touch, just leave a comment on the webpage. You know, whatever. It's up to you. Or not. I don't give a fuck. What next? The biggest movies of 2017. Well, there's loads. Obviously, there's like Episode 8 coming next year. There's Thor Ragnarok, which sounds super exciting. But we don't know anything about these films. We haven't seen anything. So what I'm going to do is just take a quick look. Because there's been a glut of... A glut? Is that the right word? Or have I got that the wrong way around? There's been loads, let's just go with that, loads of trailers recently for movies coming out in 2017. So I'll just go through them. We'll just keep with this list thing, yeah? Might as well. It's working. It's a list. It, you know, why not? Anyway, Fast 8. That's the latest trailer. Yeah, it looks cool. I'm not sure if I'm numb to this now. Like, I'm a fan of the latter Fast movies, you know, Fast 5 through 7. You know, let's be honest, the first four Fast films were all pretty bad. The first one was bad. The second one is one of the worst films I've ever seen. The third film is stupid, but kind of dopey fun just because it's set in Tokyo. The fourth one is a slight improvement, but it's when it got to, like, five still the high watermark, comfortably. Five is fantastic. Six is decent. Seven was really good, actually. I was pleasantly surprised. But, you know, all this family stuff. And Vin Diesel, I'm still not convinced he knows that these films are dumb. I'm just not convinced he knows about the tone. I'm not sure if anyone in the film realizes they're as dumb as they are. But all this family shit, I don't know, man. Can there be too much retardation? Like, I'm not sure if I can take this much dumbness. Like, I was on board last time, I enjoyed the last one. But I watched that trailer, and I was like, I might be done. I might be done with the Fast and Furious films. Like, it's cool that Jason Statham's back. Any excuse to have Jason Statham in an action movie, he was easily the best thing. Was he in the last one? Was it 7? With the cars jumping through the buildings and stuff. Easily the best thing. Jason Statham was basically a fucking Cockney Terminator. Like, they never explained how he got anywhere. He just appeared.
It's like the Fast and Furious guys, you know, the Fast family. Oh, fuck, that sounds so lame. They had to go through these elaborate plans, be it to get to the top of a mountain, to get into the top of a very tall building, and Jason Statham would just fucking appear like the goddamn Terminator, and it didn't matter because he was there and he had a rocket launcher, which is fucking awesome. He was great. I mean, right from the opening scene, you know, the one where he just went in and just blew up the hospital? He's like, take care of my brother in this hospital, which I'm about to blow the fuck up. He's awesome. I don't know. See, now I'm talking about it, I'm like, oh no, maybe I am on board for this. It's going to have The Rock fighting Jason Statham. That's going to be good. I mean, it's already... Wait, did he fight Jason Statham? No, Vin Diesel did. Yeah. It's dumb. I'm sure it'll be awesome. I'm just not sure if I can get that excited about it. Maybe closer to the release date, but... As I said, there's only so much retardation anyone can take, and I think this could be pushing the limits a bit, especially with the promise of two more. Is it two more? I'm sure they said they were going to get to 10. So, yeah. That, though, I mean, you know, it's a Fast 8 film. Whether it's good or bad, I'm not going to lose any sleep. The one I am a little bit more concerned about is War for the Planet of the Apes, because I loved the last two Planet of the Apes films, especially the last one. The second one was fantastic. Well, I think, genuinely speaking, one of the best blockbusters of the last few years. But, I wasn't enamored by the new trailer. It looked cool enough. Is it Kubo? No, it's Koba? Or is he the bad one? Oh, fucking terrible with names. It looked cool. I'm sure it'll be great. But anything which tries to kind of force in the title of the movie, whether it be into the trailer or into the movie, is always a little bit ropey. I just think it's a bad sign. I couldn't believe in the trailer they, you know, crowbarred in War for the Planet of the Apes. I mean, really? It was like the last time I saw that was, anyone seen The Magnificent Seven? I thought that was a completely serviceable action western. Not a great film, but a pretty decent film. But it had the worst ending of any movie ever. Ever. Like, not the whole end of the movie. The final showdown is decent enough. But there's this final, totally unnecessary cutaway, which is all shot in 3D. And it feels like it's there exclusively so that this narrator who comes out of nowhere can literally get in the term Magnificent Seven. Like they truly were a Magnificent Seven or some bullshit like that. It was the fucking worst. So yeah, I'm always just a little bit wary of anyone trying to force in the title of the movie. It's the same with taglines. I watched The Fly for the first time in years, the 80s David Cronenberg one. And that really is a weird film. That ends so strange. Spoiler alert, really abruptly, very few movies end with a shotgun to the head. Like, it just ends. Sheesh. Again, spoilers if you haven't seen The fucking Fly from, like, 1986. But The Fly, it gets, you know, gets combined with a door. Gene splices with a door. It's in a hell of a shape. You know, Gina Davis, she's got a shotgun. She's got to put out of his misery. She shoots it in the face. Doesn't cut away. Head explodes. Credits. Just go straight to credits. But my point is, in that film, despite the fact that is a really good fucking film, by the way, there is one line which says, be afraid, be very afraid. And you get the impression that the tagline came before the script. They're like, all right, we've got The Fly, we've got the movie title, we've got this awesome fucking tagline, be afraid, be very afraid, and now we're going to get into the movie because it feels so forced. It's just because Gina Davis is not she's not the best actress in the world. I always used to really like it, and she's pretty good, but... Maybe, I'm not going to judge her because I do like her in a lot of films. I love her in A League of Their Own. That's one of my favourite sports films. But in this film, I know, man, she seems to go back and forth a lot. I don't know what the hell. Like, her changes are so dramatic all the time. She's either well into something or just well against it. But that could be the script more than anything else. Anyway, I'm not going to keep talking about a film from 1986. And I say 1986. I don't know why I picked 1986. All I know is it was made in the 80s. Just 1986 seemed like a reasonable guess. So yeah, War of the Planet of the Apes, it's a teaser trailer. I hope it's good. I have every reason to believe it will be good based on the other films, but that tagline shit, it's not a tagline, the title of the film, I always find that a little bit concerning. Spider-Man Homecoming, that was the big trailer release last week. I feel like, I don't know, I'm not on Twitter or anything like that, so I don't know what the general response is. I thought it seemed pretty cool. They don't seem to be doing the origin story, which is awesome. It just seems to be Spider-Man being Spider-Man. Michael Keaton as the Vulture. That's awesome. You know, because they do have that very light-hearted feel, but then he shows up. It's still, there's an element of like Electro to it, of him just showing up and just being a bit mean. I hope he gets a decent run out, because obviously like the biggest problem with most of these films, like even if it's not an origin film, it's still the first, and it seems ridiculous to say this, it's still the first Spider-Man film. The first Spider-Man film in this universe. And what always comes off worse, it's the villains. You know, Mads Mikkelsen's a fantastic actor. And he didn't do anything particularly wrong in Doctor Strange. He just didn't have enough to work with. And it happens in all these films. Jeff Bridges in the original Iron Man, he was awesome. But he just, again, he didn't have enough material to work with. So I hope that they do give Michael Keaton the time and the, the material to get the most out of the Vulture. Because it'd be a shame to get someone as awesome as Michael Keaton as the villain and just have him wasted. But I thought it looked cool. The stuff, you know, I'm not sure if you need Iron Man in it. I mean, he is Spider-Man. I get it with other films where you're like, all right, like Captain America, for instance. It's like you always need someone else. Like Captain America has arguably turned into one of the best Marvel movie characters. But part of the reason he works is because you still have to put him next to someone because he is still a bit of a Boy Scout. He's a bit one-dimensional. Even though I know he's picked the other side and all that shit, he doesn't have any, you know, he's not one for quips or anything like that. And I get why you had Iron Man with him. But I don't know if Spider-Man needs Iron Man in the movie, but the bits with Spider-Man and Iron Man worked amazingly well in Civil War, so fuck, what do I know? Just give it a go. I mean, the trailer looked cool. It feels like the Garfield Spider-Man films were 2 minutes ago. I'm still a little bit upset about those because I thought they got the casting so right. I loved Andrew Garfield as Peter Parker, and I thought he was a great Spider-Man. I loved Emma Stone. I loved the cast. And I liked a lot about the first film, but again, they fucked up the villain. Maybe it was just the second film. They just didn't learn the lessons. I just couldn't fucking believe that they fucked it up, that they put too many villains in again. Of all the franchises to do that again, after Spider-Man 3, to do the same to the Amazing Spider-Man. And it was just such a shame because he was a really good Spider-Man. But I'm sure the new kids, was it Tom Holland? Am I making that up? Something like that. He looks pretty good, and it's cool that, well, if they're going to do it, they're doing something a bit different and going back to his high school years. But, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt. The trailer was pretty cool, and it's Marvel. I mean, Marvel, most of the stuff they do now is good. I mean, you only need to look at 2016. There's a reason most of the highest, the films at the top of the box office list are nearly all Disney films. It's not just because they're Disney films or because they're Marvel films, because they're really fucking good. I have every faith. Spider-Man 2017, sure, it'll be awesome. And it'll just be interesting. I guess the interesting thing is to see how much money it makes. Because obviously the Marvel films are making a fortune anyway. I mean, Doctor Strange just made what? It's made in excess of 600 million worldwide because, you know, it had decent reviews and it's a Marvel film. As I said in the previous podcast, you don't have to sell them as an Iron Man film or as a Doctor Strange film. You're selling it as a Marvel film first and foremost, and that's why they can throw any character now front and center. As long as the reviews are good, as long as it's a good film, it's going to sell well off the strength of the Marvel brand. But this is Spider-Man. And I know Iron Man has become front and center of the Marvel, the MCU in recent years, obviously, and has become this massive character thanks to Robert Downey Jr. But Spider-Man is still the face of Marvel. And it's like, say the reviews come out, say this knocks out of the park, say it's 4 and 5 star reviews. I mean, could we be talking about, you know, a billion? Well, I have no doubt it could do over a billion, but could this beat, like, you know, Iron Man 3's box office? I don't know. Is Spider-Man still that popular? I don't know. But it will be very, very interesting to see how that does financially. Like, there's no way. Like, it's going to do really, really well. But is it going to do really well or is it going to do outrageously well? Time's going to tell. When is it released? I know it's 2017, but I don't know if it's early summer. Is it May, June? I don't know. It doesn't matter. The other one's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Looks cool. I haven't seen enough of it. I'm sure it'll do good business. And the fact that the last one did pretty well, I assume that they're going to go, you know, even more insane with this one. It's kind of like the same thing with Deadpool 2. It's like the last one did well, and it was weird and stuff. But because it did so well, you feel like the director's going to be given that additional bit of free rein to really push the boundaries. And Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't know a huge amount about the comic books, but what I do know, it sounds like there's the potential there for some really weird shit. And, you know, Doctor Strange is 650 million global box office proved, if nothing else, that they can get away with weird shit and still make a ton of money. So, it bodes well for the future of Marvel, this kind of stuff. That, you know, the weird stuff, the stuff that you thought, well, it could be a risk. they're huge hits, and it shows that, you know, audiences are willing to go with them into these strange new places. So
long may it continue, and I'm sure it will with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I don't expect it to be a standard blockbuster. I'm sure there'll be some pretty odd stuff in there. Baywatch, wasn't looking forward to that at all. I know they're going for a slightly different tone. Like, you know, the comedy tone is slightly self-aware. It's by the directors of Angry Bosses, I think, which I didn't actually think was all that good a film. Actually, thought the trailer was okay. I thought it was like a decent mix of earnest action scenes and self-deprecating comedy. I doubt it'll be great, but it could be okay. It could be shit, of course. But I saw enough in the trailer where I was like, well, you know, it might be okay. It's a classic wait for the reviews film. Like, I'm not going to rush out and see fucking Baywatch the movies. I remember, you know, the original TV show when it came out, and it was just an absolutely massive, massive hit. But obviously, it wasn't all that self-aware. It took itself very seriously, or relatively seriously anyway. This is more of a kind of 22 Jump Street style remake, I guess, or, you know, reimagining, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, looks okay. But yeah, I'll be waiting for the reviews on that one. The one I'm really toying with is the new Transformers trailer. Transformers: The Last Night. Fuck knows what's going on in that trailer. I just can't get over the fact that it's still Michael Bay. Like, I've gone to see every Transformers movie, and they just got worse and worse and worse. I actually really liked the first one when it came out. I thought it got a good balance between kind of cheesy fun and, you know, Transformers action scenes. They've just got so pants. Like, the second one is the worst. The second one is appalling film. But you made all these promises for the third and then the fourth. The third one was garbage. Terrible, terrible film. And then the fourth one, I was like, all right, basically after the third one, I decided I was done. I'm like, I'm not watching any more Transformers movies. And then they released a trailer for the fourth one, and they're like, oh, well, Mark Wahlberg's in it. I was like, okay, I'm definitely not seeing this film. But then, like, oh yeah, there's also Optimus Prime riding a dinosaur with a sword. I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna have to see it now. How can you fuck that up? They fucked it up. That film was terrible. So it was another terrible film. The problem is they keep making tons of money. I just wish they would just give someone else a chance. Because I see that trailer, and there's some, I mean, they got fucking Nazis in there, and what is it, like King Arthur? I don't know what the hell's going on there. But it's still got that weird, it just looks so much like a Michael Bay film, and I just can't be fucked anymore. I mean, for all my talk, I'll probably go and see it. I've got a Cineworld pass, I'll have a moment of weakness, and it's just that usual, like, I want to make up my own mind, but at this point, I know what my mind, like, is he going to turn it around at this point? Is he going to finally make another good Transformers film? I just can't see it happening. That'll be an interesting one to see if people still come out and force that. Obviously, it'll do decent numbers, but I think the box office has been kind of on the wane with the last few films. And I think, but it's the global box office which tends to save it, because I seem to recall with the third or the fourth, I think it was the fourth one, where it didn't make the top 10 movies of that year in the UK in terms of box office, but it was like second in the world because it still has this huge global following. It's just a consistent hit all over the world, so it makes really good numbers, even if it's not as popular as it once was, and maybe, you know, the UK and the States. But it'll be interesting to see if people still keep coming out for that in large numbers, because there's only so many shit films you can make, excuse me, before people just give the fuck up on it. As I said, for all my talk, I say I'm done, but I'm not going to see it. I might. I don't want it to be shit. I hope it's good. With Michael Bay on board for like the fifth fucking time, I just can't see him turning around at this point. That's it for movies next year. Again, obviously, there's a lot of other huge movies coming out, but we just don't know enough about them. We don't know, like, Alien Covenant. We've seen a poster. That's about it. Episode 8. Fuck, you know, let's wait for Rogue One before we start talking about Episode 8. We'll get to those as and when the trailers show up, but some interesting ones there. As I said, like, probably the one I'm looking forward to most, despite my criticism, is probably Spider-Man. Yeah, I like the trailer, and I just think it might be something to do with the fact that I'm not all that excited about the other films on the list. Like, War for the Planet of the Apes should be top of the list, but I wasn't so fussed on that trailer. Anyway, what have I been playing this week? That's usually what I do next. Still playing Pikmin 3 because my wife now officially has an addiction. Like, a proper addiction. She came in here yesterday because I was watching the football. I think she played Pikmin 3 for like 6 hours straight.
just doing the challenge levels, trying to get gold medals, it's becoming a problem. Like, I'm playing it with her a lot, and then she's going off and playing it unknown, because essentially the challenge missions, say there's like 15 in each, so 15 where you try and get loads of fruit in the time, 15 where you beat bosses, and 15 where you just defeat a bunch of enemies. And you get anything between the usual bronze or platinum medals, and we're just trying to get gold medals. We're like, right, let's not drive ourselves in fucking insane, because, you know, getting platinum medals can be fun, but if it can get a bit stressful. And when it's between you and your wife, you want to keep video games as stress-free as possible. You don't want to turn on each other over Pikmin fucking 3. So we got gold medals on almost everything now. But she's going back. She realizes you get another medal if you do it in single player. So now she's trying to do the whole thing in single player on her own. And it's an addiction. But this is what happens to her. She doesn't play a huge number of video games. But when she does play them, she gets properly hooked. So it's probably a good thing she doesn't play that many video games, because otherwise I'd never fucking see her. Playing Picross 3D Round 2 on the 3DS. It feels like one of those games where obviously a lot of people like it. The Picross games keep coming out. You can find them on like App Store and stuff, but they're really good. They don't have that visual language of, say, like a Tetris, where you see it and you immediately get it, or like a Match 3 game, like, fucking Candy Crush, like you see it, it's all bright colors, I immediately get it. You look at this, it looks more like a fancy Sudoku kind of puzzle, but Picross is fucking amazing, and it's so addictive. And I was like, really, is the 3D thing a bit of a gimmick? No, it totally works. And they've even added a few extra things. You think, oh, maybe I'll get too complex. But they do such a great job of easing you into the game, of easing you into the new mechanics. If you've got a 3DS, I think it is actually the best reviewed game of the year on the 3DS. So, yeah, it's not just me saying this. It seems that everybody loves Picross 3D Round 2. Not the catchiest title. But, yeah, you should totally check that out. For some reason, I started playing Alien Isolation again. I love that game, but I find it really intense. Like, I'm not one of these people who's like easily scared, and I don't find that game scary. I just find it tense. Like, I'm constantly on edge. Not like I feel like I need to turn the lights or anything. It's a different thing. It's not the same as being scared. It's just like constantly, kind of like in the same way you maybe are in Dark Souls, where you feel like you can be killed at any moment. Where I enjoy the experience, but I can only play it for so long, because, again, for lack of a better term, I'm just so tense when I play it. I enjoy it, but not in the traditional sense. Like, I'm not relaxed when I play it. It's like, oh yeah, I'll just, you know, had a busy day at work, I'll just chill out and play Alien Isolation for half an hour. That just doesn't happen. But it does remind me how great a game that is, and how good it still looks. Some of the facial animations are shit, but for the most part, that game is amazing. And such reverence for the universe. Surely that has to be one of the best movie adaptations of all time. I know it's not a direct movie adaptation, but it's as close as you're going to get. I think it's a fantastic game. Forza Horizon 3, I'm still playing. I'm maybe not as enamored with it as I have been with previous games, simply because it's so similar. Like, I feel like I've played this game a couple times already, but it's still a fantastic game. The handling's still amazing. Visually, it's stunning. I don't like the setting for some odd reason as much as I did with, what was it? One was Colorado, I think, which I loved. And the second one was a kind of an amalgamation of Southern Europe. It was like a bit of France, bit of Italy, bit of Spain or something, was it? Or was it just France and Italy? But I really love those settings. And this one, like, there's some cool stuff, but I don't know why. It's just not grabbing me in quite the same way. Still a fantastic game, and I'm still playing it. I'll probably finish it. But, yeah, it doesn't have quite the same impact the time around. Still playing Titanfall 2, because it's still amazing. Battlefront DLC, just because. Again, for all my talk earlier, I did get my ass handed to me a bit in that. I had to play a couple of games before I got back on board. You know, when you jump in and you're just like, I'm getting murdered here. But the good thing is about Battlefront, and as I mentioned earlier, stuff like Titanfall, it only takes a game or two to get back in the swing of things, and then putting up decent numbers. I just had to take that one game, got my ass whooped by people obviously playing it pretty regularly, but I'm back on board now. I'm not sure if I'll play it a huge amount. I'm not sure if it'll, you know, replace Titanfall. I just can't see that happening, because that's kind of like, I don't play a huge amount of online shootery stuff, but if I do at the moment, it tends to be Titanfall 2. And I'll play a bit more Battlefront DLC, the Rogue One stuff. But I'll probably have a few games and just forget about it. I kind of did the same with the Death Star stuff. It looked amazing. I was like, oh, this was really cool. And then just never went back and played it all that much again. It's really strange. But again, it's just so many other games. There's so many other things too. And that's about it. I played a bit of Sonic Dash, bizarrely, on the iPad. I forgot we had it. I think it's because I was looking into Mario. When's that coming out on the iPhone? think it's coming out on the 15th. So yeah, this week. And I will buy that, of course. I'm not, generally speaking, a mobile gamer, but I'll buy it for the iPad and just play it at home a little bit. But when I picked it up, I was like, oh yeah, we have Sonic Dash. That's still a pretty good game. Usual bullshit, too many adverts, too much bullshit between tries for my taste, but it's still a good game, and arguably one of the better Sonic games released in the past few years. I was going to do It's Good, But It's Basically Just Shite starring Tom Hanks, but as always, I've overrun, I've talked too much. We'll do that next week. Please do check me out online, iTunes, Android, still in the Brashcast at the moment, soon to be undergoing, so I will let you know. Obviously, we're on the website, brashgames.co.uk, and that's about it. As I said, this all will be more professional in the weeks to come. I will get an official Facebook page. I'm still not going to do Twitter. I can't be fucked with Twitter. I still don't totally get Twitter, if truth be told. But I'll get a Facebook page. This will all be separated out nicely on iTunes and Android and all that jazz. Yeah, thanks for listening as always, and do come back next week. Well, no, not next week. Probably won't do next week. Next week, I'm back in Cardiff. I'm going back home for Christmas, and I'm not recording when I'm back home for Christmas. I can't be fucked. I might do, but you know, don't hold your breath. I'm sure you won't. I mean, Jesus Christ, who's getting that excited about this podcast? But you know, if you've made it this far, thank you very fucking much. I hope you enjoyed, and please come back next time. Cheers, bye!